The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and for this we labour and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I was really struck by the was it the last verse of what we just sung? I want to see the Lord come again in my generation. I want to see the Lord come again while I am alive. Are you ready? What if he did? Are you prepared? One day we will all meet the Lord, whether it's whilst we're alive on this earth or when we stand before him in heaven. Are you ready? How can you ready yourself? How can you prepare yourself for that day? That day that we've just sung, we want to see whilst we're still alive in our generation. That we might give ourselves for something that'll last forever. Not just for this life. In that reading that Vanessa just read to us, Paul said, physical training, oh gosh, it's heavy, isn't it? If you want some exercise afterwards, come and lift the bike a few times. Oh. Paul said, physical training is of some value. You know, it's not wasted. It's a good idea. Well done, Sylvia. But he goes on, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. There's good news and there's bad news in that verse. The bad news is that all of the training, whether that's physical training or educational or vocational or fitness, whatever training you've had in this life has a limited lifetime. It's got an expiry date. There's going to come the day where all of those life skills you've built up, and some of us have had longer to build up rather more than others have, will be of no value any longer. They will die when you die. And then they'll be useless. But the good news in that verse is that there is something you can invest yourself in. There is some training that you can apply yourself to in this life that has value both in this life and in the life to come. Godliness. Godliness is longer lasting than the results of any training you might have in this life. Anything you might do at school, at university, U3A, adult education, fitness classes, professional development, whatever training you might do, godliness is of longer lasting value. So where do we get training in godliness from? How do we train in godliness? Paul says in verse 6 that it comes via the truths of the faith and good teaching. The truths of the faith and good teaching. He doesn't say that yields godliness, but it's on the path towards godliness. We're in a series of looking at different aspects of what it means to be the body of Christ, for the church to be the continuing presence of Jesus in the world today. And right now today we're looking at how the church continues Jesus' teaching ministry. You know, if you were asked to sum up Jesus' life, one of the key things you'd probably say about him was he was an amazing teacher. Well, the church, the body of Christ, is to continue that teaching ministry. Teaching that leads towards godliness that is of eternal value. Teaching that prepares you to live life, not just in this life, but in the life to come. My calling is as a pastor and as a teacher. I'm called to pastor you as God's people in this place and to teach you from his word, the Bible. But I don't teach in order to pad out the service or entertain you. I don't teach you in order that I might impart information to you about the Christian faith. So that's useful to know. And I don't teach you in order to help you increase your Bible knowledge. I'm not here just so that you can know the Bible better. Though that is extremely valuable to you and has great merit. Now, I teach Sunday by Sunday so that, working with the Holy Spirit, your life might be changed as you meet with God through his word. That you might become more godly as you put that teaching into practice. Because it's not just about sitting under good teaching. Or bad teaching. It's not about sitting under the teaching, listening to it. Paul says at the end of verse 6 that Timothy hadn't just had good teaching, but that he had followed it. That he had put it into practice in his life. How had he put it into practice? By training himself to be godly. Verse 7. So I teach you from scriptures that you might train yourself to be godly. I can't make you godly. I'll give up now if that was my aim. I cannot make you godly. Only God can. But you have to work with him, training yourself in godliness. Timothy was now called to be a teacher himself. He was a young leader whom Paul had trained up so that Timothy might become the pastor teacher of the church in Ephesus after Paul himself had moved on to other places. The faith that Paul had taught Timothy was not seen in Timothy's superior knowledge, better academic qualifications, an A star at A level or first class honours degree, whatever. No, Timothy's faith was to be seen, verse 7, in his godly life. And more specifically, Paul expands that in verse 12, where he says, His faith is to be seen in the example that Timothy sets in speech, life, love, faith, and purity. That is, in his godly speech, his godly life or lifestyle, as we might put it these days, his godly love, his godly faith, his godly purity. That's how Timothy's faith would be seen. That godliness has value in this life and the life to come. I'm going to take a bit of liberty with English spelling. So if anybody's still at school, this isn't how you spell it. But Timothy had been brought up by Paul so that he might be healthy. So that his whole life, his speech, his lifestyle, his love, his faith, his purity might be godly. Paul invested in teaching Timothy so that he might prepare Timothy for life, not just in this life, but life for eternity. And that's what Paul, Timothy, and every pastor teacher since then, including me, is seeking in their hearers. That your life might be healthy before God, that you might be godly, that you might be prepared for eternity. And that might be seen and evident in your life, in your speech, in your lifestyle, in the way that you love others and love God, in the things you put faith in, and in your purity. It's challenging, isn't it? Didn't know it was going to get that tough. For Paul says, physical training, yeah, some value. You'll live longer if you do it. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So it's not enough for me to teach you the truths of the faith. That's not enough. Unless you follow that teaching by training yourself to be godly. How do you do that? Paul gives some hints in this passage. Firstly, you need to pay attention. How often does a teacher say that in class? Pay attention! Paul says, verse 13, pay attention to the reading of Scripture, to the preaching and teaching. Secondly, he says, verse 15, you need to be diligent. A healthy life before God, a godly life, doesn't come automatically to any of us. It's not a given just because you're a Christian. You have to work at it. As he says to Timothy in verse 7, you have to train yourself to be godly. Working with God to be godly. And thirdly, the clue is in the word godliness. Godliness. You can only attain to godliness by working together with God, with his Spirit in your life. Listening and hearing him and meeting him through Scripture, through his word, through prayer, in worship, in daily life. Letting him work in you by his Spirit. So that's why it's really important that the church, the body of Christ, continues the teaching ministry of Jesus. Because it's that teaching ministry that leads you, that equips you with the tools to train yourself in godliness. The teaching doesn't result in you being godly. You have to start applying that to yourselves and to your own life, working with God, the Spirit. We've all invested a lot of our lives in training our minds and for some of us more than others, our bodies. But let's invest even more of ourselves in training our souls in godliness. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you came as an incredible teacher, teaching us truths that when planted in good soil in our hearts, when planted in lives that are willing to respond and put into practice your teaching, leads to godliness, healthy living, and to your glory. And Lord, that lasts forever, not just in this life, but we want to give ourselves to something that'll last forever, as we just sang. We give ourselves to your work in us and through us, that we may continue the work of Jesus in this place. Amen.